Hey, I'm Alan. As Jeremy said, today's Bible reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, if you'd open your Bibles with me. All right, starting at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Today we are starting a new sermon series, and we are going to go through the book of Acts. And we've kind of captured this idea that we are God's people, you and I are God's people, and we've looked at God's people as stewards of creation not too long ago, and before that God's people as stewards of God's money, and now God's people on mission. And we've got a nice graphic in the bulletin front cover to remind us. So we may be a student, we may be someone who's working, we might be in different occupations, in different fields of spheres of influence, but all of us corporately together, we are God's people and we are on mission. So that might not be the foremost things on our mind, but we hope that through this series we'll be able to explore that further and remind ourselves of who we are and what God has called us to do. So let's pray as we look at Acts chapter 1. Father, we pray as we look at your word that you would speak to us through it. We know, Lord, that these are your very words, God breathed words. So we pray, Lord, that you would speak it to us, that you would help shape our minds, help us to know your plan for the world, and that we can join you in what you are doing. So we ask this, we ask for soft hearts, we ask, Lord, for attentiveness, we ask, Lord, that you would clear away the distractions and the tiredness, and help us to be able to focus. Please speak to us. We long to hear your voice. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Anyone plays chess? If you play chess, then you know that you kind of got to anticipate the next move of your opponent and kind of think ahead and to know what you're going to do. And so I think it's a very helpful way of looking at the book of Acts, because in Acts chapter 1, the question is, what is Jesus' next move? What is Jesus' next move? If you remember, the book of Acts is actually a volume 2. It's written by Luke, and Luke wrote Luke's Gospel, and then he wrote the book of Acts. So we know what Jesus, what happened in Luke's Gospel, and then we want to know what's going to happen next. Often when we read the book of Acts, what do you call the book of Acts? The Acts of the Apostles, isn't it? That's the normal way we think of the book of Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles, because we see the Apostles doing a lot of actions. They're the one going out, preaching, they're healing people, they're bringing people to Christ. So it seems like there's a lot of action that's happening on the part of the Apostles. But that's not really accurate. If you look at Acts chapter 1 verse 1, look at what it says. Let me read Acts 1 verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, so Luke is saying, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles and apostles he had chosen. So what Luke is saying is, I wrote Luke's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel is about what Jesus began to do and to teach. So then, what's he saying here? He's saying, if Jesus began to do and to teach things in Luke's Gospel, the book of Acts is what Jesus continues to do and to teach. So the book of Acts is primarily about Jesus, what Jesus is doing. And of course, he's doing it through, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, so he's doing it through the apostles. They are the visible people we see in action. But it's not the Acts of the Apostle. It's the Acts of the risen Lord Jesus. It's what Jesus is doing. So we've got to bear that in mind. So what Jesus is continuing to do through the Apostles, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is key, but through the Apostles, but it's Jesus. Acts is about what Jesus is doing. So that's my first point. And I think it's helpful, because when you read the book of Acts, you see a lot of miracles, you see courageous and bold witness in the face of opposition, in the face of persecution, that the apostles are so bold. And then you might think that, what caused them to be so bold, so courageous? What is causing them to be able to do all these miracles? Is it because they are specially holy? Is it because of something within themselves? And the answer that the book of Acts gives us is, it's not the apostles, it's Jesus. It's Jesus continuing to do what he did in the book of Luke, his healings, his miracles. He is continuing to work, and he's continuing to work through very ordinary human beings. So there's nothing special about the apostles. It's Jesus using ordinary people, flesh and blood people like you and I. Jesus uses ordinary people like fishermen, tax collectors. Those were the apostles. They didn't have theological degrees. They were just ordinary people. So it's an encouragement to you. If you're sitting there today and you think, I'm not very intelligent, I'm not very skillful, I'm not very eloquent, well, join the club. Jesus uses very ordinary people to grow his kingdom. And so that's an encouragement for us this morning. We just need to be willing to follow Jesus. Okay, so the first point is, it's what Jesus is doing. The book of Acts is what Jesus is doing. Okay, the next point is, what Jesus is not doing. Jesus is not restoring the kingdom to Israel. Verse 6, so if you have your Bibles open and follow me. Verse 6 and 7. So they gather around him and they ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So they are Jews. The 12 apostles are Jews. They're Jews. The Jewish mindset is they're in their history. They had a united kingdom, and the glory days was under King David and Saul. They were the high point in their Jewish history, and now they're down in the dumps because they are a colony. They're under Roman rule. And so in their mindset, it says, is Jesus going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is it going to be the time of prosperity? Is it going to be a time where they are, as a political nation, very strong, very powerful? So they're thinking in Jewish terms. They're thinking in political terms. They're thinking in geographic terms of a Jewish nation. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, that is not the plan. That's not the plan. See, the plan was that this good news of what Jesus has done through dying on the cross, being raised to life, is now going to be taken out throughout the world. That's the plan. So it's going to cross geographic and racial boundaries from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That is what Jesus is on about. That is what the risen Christ is going to do. He wants this news to spread. And I think that's good for us also. You know, they always say, keep the main things the main things. If you don't keep the main things, you get sidetracked. And what were they sidetracked about? They got sidetracked about questions of timing. They asked Jesus, is it now? Is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom? Is now the time? And Jesus says, that's none of your business. I mean, he didn't use the history. I'm saying it in my way. He's saying, that's not for you to know. What we are to concern ourselves is on being witnesses, on telling others about what Jesus has done. Okay, so it's not, what Jesus is going to do is not restore the kingdom to Israel. That's not what he's on about. What he's on about is empowering his people to be witnesses. So that's a kind of a map of where Israel was and the time of King David and Solomon, where the kingdom was really strong and powerful. Okay? So he's not about that. He's about empowering his people to be witnesses. I think a great memory verse for us as we go through the book of Acts is Acts 1:8. So let's read it together and let's memorize this verse as we do this sermon series. Okay, let's read it out aloud together. 1:2. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that's the key verse in the book of Acts. Why is the giving of the Holy Spirit so important? Because it says the Holy Spirit will empower the apostles. The Holy Spirit is going to empower them so that they can accomplish Jesus' plan. Without the Holy Spirit, what were they like? They were insecure. You know, when you read the Gospels, they were really, like Peter and John says, oh, can we sit at your right hand? They wanted status, they wanted position. So they were very normal people, insecure, inward-looking, Jewish, and very narrow-focused. And yet, God was going to transform them. God was going to change them because God, the Lord Jesus, wanted this gospel to go out into all the earth. Okay, and the plan has certain steps. First, you buy the provisions from Coles, or maybe first you get the recipe of what you're going to cook, then you buy the provisions for Coles, then you come back and chop the vegetables, and then you cook it. So there's an order, isn't it? So in the same way, Jesus has a plan, and his plan is, it begins in Jerusalem, then it's going to spread to Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So it's an outward movement starting from the center. Why Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Jesus is the king. He has been enthroned. So there's a plan. So Jesus dies for our sins. He gets raised from the dead. He's resurrected. Then he spends 40 days with his apostles, teaching them, showing them proofs. Hey, I'm alive. Look, touch me. Touch my hands. I'm alive. I'm eating. I'm alive. I'm not a ghost. And then after 40 days, he ascends. And in the Bible's thinking of things, when Jesus ascends, he sits at the right hand of the Father. And that sitting on the right hand of the Father means he is king. He's enthroned as king. He's wearing the crown. He's King Jesus. And once he's king, then he can give the Holy Spirit. Then he can pour out the Holy Spirit. So there's a plan, there's an order. And after the giving of the Holy Spirit, they then are transformed by the Holy Spirit and they go out and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So there's a plan, there's steps. Okay? And what we need to see is that this is not plan B. This is God's plan from the beginning. From the Old Testament, this was the plan. So let's look at Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Oh, no need to look, I'll just, it's there. Let me read it to you. So this is Jesus speaking to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're saying, oh, Jesus died. What's going to happen? We had all these hopes and now he's dead. And then Jesus comes along them and he talks to them. And part of that conversation, he tells them this verse. Okay, he tells them this. So Luke 24:46, Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice the word, it is written. It is written where? It is written in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament always, this was always God's plan. And what's part of God's plan? Verse 46, God's plan was that the Christ, the Messiah, would die, would suffer, would die, and would rise on the third day. So that's always been God's plan. Jesus was always going to come, always the plan was he's going to die for our sins. There's no other plan. Two, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Both are God's plan. Not just the death and resurrection of Jesus, but the gospel being taken out to the ends of the earth. Both are God's plan. And both are God's plan way back in the Old Testament. So that was always God's plan. So then if you want to ask the question, where in the Old Testament? So you think about it, I think the most obvious one I thought was Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 talks about, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is the suffering servant in Isaiah who died for our sins. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this was foretold a long way back in Isaiah's time, that Jesus would come, die and rise. How about the good news going out into all the nations? If that was written, where was it written? If that was in, and I think the most clearest one is Genesis 12. You know, God promises Abraham that you would be, Genesis 12 verse 23, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham, father of the Jewish nation, and God promises him that through him, the whole earth will be blessed. So this gospel is going to be taken to the whole earth. So God's plan, God's heart has always been for all nations. But he began with one nation. He began, one nation. That doesn't sound good. Okay. Delete. A nation. Okay. Sorry, I get sidetracked, get so distracted. How are you all concentrating? When I'm getting distracted, then I'm speaking. Okay, anyway. Genesis 12, 2 and 3, okay. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So the plan is for all nations, and it was told to Abraham way back in the book of Genesis. Okay, both are God's plan. The suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus and the gospel going out to all nations. This is God's plan. This is what Jesus is doing. This, he's making the moves, folks. He's making the moves. These are the moves. Okay. And the final thing is that Jesus is doing is... Okay, so what is Jesus' next move? It's Jesus. He's doing it. He's not restoring the kingdom. It's not a Jewish thing. He's empowering his disciples by giving them the Holy Spirit. And now we're at the fourth thing. He's replacing Judas. So if you look at Acts chapter 1 verse 21, it says, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So it seems to me that what Jesus is doing is saying that in the Old Testament, Abraham had 12 sons. Is that right? Anyway, there are 12 tribes of Israel. And in the New Testament, you've got 12 apostles. So then there is a fulfillment and a continuation of Old Testament Israel in now becoming this 12 apostles. This is what God is on about. This is what he's doing. This is the church. The apostles are like the foundation of the New Testament church. And so there are 12 tribes, now there are 12 apostles. So they said that we've got to replace Judah, so the number is still 12. Okay? So we know what the book of Acts is all about. The book of Acts is all about what Jesus is doing. And he's doing it through his apostles who are can only do it because they have being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you read through the book of Acts, you see that this is happening. You see them taking out the gospel, overcoming insecurities, being courageous, and the gospel is going out slowly and steadily forward. So as you read the book of Acts, you see that, and we will see that as we go through it. But let's think about ourselves and how does this relate to us. So firstly, maybe starting the series by putting it as God's people on mission makes us so human-centered. It's not that we are God's people on mission, it's that God is a God of mission. This is what King Jesus is on about. And this is the plan in the Old Testament. He is on about death, dying for the forgiveness and letting this message go out to the whole world. This is what God is doing. The question is, are we in step with what God is doing? Are we taking our place as followers of this King Jesus in being obedient and being on getting on the bus where he's taking us? This is what he is doing. Are we on the bus? Are we in step with him? Are we God's people on mission? Because God is on mission. Because God cares for the whole world and wants this news about his death and resurrection of his son Jesus to be spread far and wide. But we of course, we are just like the disciples. We have our fears. We might be afraid of, oh, I don't want to offend the person. I don't know what they will think about me if I say something. So at work, we might say that just keep it low profile and not say I'm a Christian. Or, how was your weekend, Jeremy? It was a nice weekend. Do I say something about church? No. Like, we're not sure. Like, we are uneasy about putting our faith out there. So the first thing we need to do is realize that not everyone is going to like you, and there are people who are going to reject you. And this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to follow Jesus. If Jesus was rejected and crucified, oops, didn't want to go down that track, but if you are following a rejected and crucified Messiah, then to follow him in his footsteps means you take up your cross and follow him. So that means there may be times when you will be rejected. So if you're here and you think that I want to be a Christian and I want everyone to like me, then that's the wrong way to think about Christianity. If they crucified the person that you are calling your Lord and Savior, then folks, it's not for softies. Following Jesus is not for softies. Okay? I'm putting it out there, but I want to say I'm a softie. So if you're like me and you're soft and easily rejected and feel so insecure, then you need to say, Lord, help me, change me. Like how you helped Jesus, and how you helped Jesus, that doesn't make sense. No, how you changed the apostles, and how you transformed Peter from a person who denied knowing Jesus into such a courageous, bold apostle. The same Holy Spirit lives in us, and the same Holy Spirit can transform us. So we too can walk in the footsteps. It's going to take a lot of work on God's part, and it's going to take a big time. He's going to work in us in throughout our whole lives, and it's going to take a long-term process. But we can pray and say, God, here I am. You know all my flaws, all my frailties, all my insecurities, all my people-pleasing tendencies, whatever it is. Help me to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Help me to engage with people. Help me to move out of my comfort zone. Help me to give when I'm stingy. Help me, Lord, when I think that this money belongs to me. It's your money. I'm a steward. I want to give towards your kingdom growing. Lord, help me. Ask God to help us. And then it will be Jesus doing the work in and through us. Not us kind of working it up and trying harder in our own strength. And that's not Christianity. Christianity is about Jesus. And Jesus, as he worked in the apostles, is Jesus, is the same Jesus who's going to work in us, transforming us by his Holy Spirit. That's what it's, that's how it's going to work. Okay? So there are many, many ways that we can, join God in what he's doing in mission. I want to ask you, in what ways are you involved in God's mission? In what ways can you be involved in God's mission? This is not to beat us on our head or anything like that. It's not to make us feel, oh no, I've got to do more stuff and lots of stuff. No, it's got to do about this is what God is doing, and I would love to join God in what he's doing. And if your heart is not there yet, talk to God about that. Say, Lord, I really don't care about anyone else except myself. Or, it's all about me. Please help me to change. I want to love the world because you love the world. I want to love other people because you love a wretched sinner like me. So help me love others like you love me. So you got to know that Jesus loves you. Selfish, stingy, narrow-minded, I don't know if you're a gossiper, I don't know if you're, whatever you are, whatever your fault is, Jesus loves you just the way you are. You've got to know that first in the first place. That's the good news, folks. If you don't know the good news, then you can't share the good news with anyone else. Okay? Jesus loves us just as we are. And that is the good news. Jesus died so that our sins can be forgiven. And if we have trusted in Him, then our sins are forgiven. And so then we have a good news to share with someone else. If not, there's no good news. Okay? If, let's say, you're sitting there and you're not convinced, it's interesting when in the beginning of the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus appeared to them over 40 days and gave them many convincing proofs. So He said, touch me, I'm going to eat fish, and He stayed with them over 40 days and appeared to many people. And in a court of law, it works the same way, isn't it? It works by eyewitness evidence. Recently, a friend of mine in Malaysia, she was followed back. She came from a shopping center. She was followed back. The guy stopped the car there and he ran in. She has an automatic closing gate. She pressed the thing. He ran in and he grabbed her purse and he had a fake gun. And then he ran out. And then the case goes to court. And she had to go and testify in court that this is the person and why she recognized him and all those kind of things. Cases get won on eyewitness testimony. And this book of Acts, the gospel accounts, are eyewitness testimony. None of you were there when Julius Caesar was born or died. How do you know he's a real person? How do you know that he lived and died and all those things? We know things by eyewitness testimony that's recorded. So the Gospels are eyewitness testimony. If you're not sure, Jesus showed Himself to eyewitnesses and they have recorded it down and you read the eyewitness testimony and you make up your mind whether it's true or not. He showed Himself to many people. And those people were still alive. You read 1 Corinthians 15, he says there were 500 people who have seen him. And when 1 Corinthians was written, they could go and actually go and speak to the person directly. We can't because, whoa, it's 2017. But they could. And so, if the resurrection is true, then Jesus is king. And then, if Jesus is king, how will you respond to him? So you've got to make up your mind. So if you're in that place, your place of uncertainty, go and read the gospel account and make up your mind first. Because you can't go out if you are not, if you don't know this truth for yourself. Okay, let's pray and close. Father, we are thankful for your great love for us. We are thankful, Lord, for this plan of salvation way back in Genesis, that Jesus, was always your plan. We thank you for the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can stand in Jesus without fear, with no condemnation, with eternal security, that we are loved by you. Lord, we pray that we would grow in our appreciation and understanding of the gospel, in the certainty of the things that we have heard. We pray, Lord, also that you would grow our heart for the people around us, for the lost, for the nations. Father, we know that this is your plan, that this gospel go out into all the world, and Father, we want to be a part of it. We pray for each one of us, Lord, that you would pour out your love in our hearts, that you would transform us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.